The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Welcome to RobotReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
And I'm Matt.
I just wanted to do it to see if you would, how much you yes-anded me. And I think, there it is. I just had to accost him. And now he's in on the bit. Give it to me. Come on. No, I gotta hear it.
That's when he's searching for the good snacks, you know?
Oh, yeah, when he's in Luke's little canister.
Getting the granola bars out.
Getting granola bars out. And he spit them out and call it garbage. Meanwhile, he's prepping some gruel for Luke.
Soup.
Yeah, I thought we were going to blow the May the 4th be with you nut a little later, but hey, this episode comes out May 4th. We talk about Star Wars probably every episode.
Lots, yes.
Probably, yeah. To our merit and our detriment, we like it a Star Wars. And we like it a you. Thank you for tuning in to ReviewParty.com. This is the only podcast on the internet that's reviews, and is funny at the same time.
Yes, very important.
That's, yeah, really the key to it. And I guess I shouldn't boast. I'll let you be the judge. I'm sure that the first minute or so of this podcast haven't been very funny. But we're going to win you back, people. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that with our reviews. Matt, you want to go first? You want me to grab this? What are you thinking?
I've got it. I have some Rotten Tomatoes reviews for...
Disgusting. The tomatoes, not the website.
These are rotten. Because it's for the movie, well, it's a double pack of both of the Ewoks movies. I don't know how many people are actually familiar with this.
Oh, the like 80s cartoons ones.
No, not the cartoons. These were live action.
Live action?
Pseudo made for TV films.
Yeah, like this really 70s.
Yes.
It looks like fucking a soap, like an old soap opera. Like that kind was the of. Camera quality.
Yeah, the two movies were Caravan of Courage and Battle for Endor.
Those movies came out in the 80s? Those looked dated in the 80s. How bad did those movies look?
Low budget. Made for TV, what can I say?
Made for TV, huh? Man, Lucas needed a new yacht or something.
He's like, I need a new pair of shoes right now. I'm busting a shoelace.
I'm busting a shoe. He... You nailed it, because he's nerdy, but also disgruntled. He's not quite full like Ben Stein or something, but
right.
He is kind of a nerdy little man.
I think the reviews I actually collected were for the second movie, Battle for Endor.
Nice, that one sounds cooler, at least.
The first movie, a short synopsis, is this family crash lands on the forest moon, and these two siblings' parents get captured. So with the help of the Ewoks, they need to get their family back. The second movie, I think I'll let some of the reviews clue you in on what happens. But these are some short reviews, so we can just sort of rapid fire them. Simon F. writes, "This, quote, movie is so bad that it's no wonder no critic has dared to review it in 34 years. Aubrey Miller makes Jake Lloyd look like Alec Guinness." I'm guessing he's commenting on the little girl.
Poor little girl getting lampooned by this man. She's an adult woman by now.
Yes. So, man, I know Jake Lloyd's bad. The only time Jake Lloyd was a good actor was in Jingle All the Way.
The only way Jake Lloyd's a good actor is that he shares the same last name with Christopher Lloyd. That's the closest he gets.
That's it. But to say... He looks like Alec Guinness compared to this little girl. A little harsh.
She's just a child.
anyway, as a palate cleanser, that was one star if I didn't say.
I think it was obvious, unfortunately.
Christopher M. writes, "The only good thing about this film are some of the promotional images that make it look like a World War II film. That's it."
Yeah, I'm looking at a, how many stars?
One star.
Oh, yes. I'm looking at a, I think it's like a VHS copy cover.
Mm-hmm.
It looks sick. If I just saw this, it looks fucking cool, dude. I'll describe it as soon as I send it over to Matthew. It's a very Star Warsy where the main characters are like lined up in the front and in like in the back in the stars, like there's giant figures of the evil guys with like starfires flying around, and like they got the little mount, they got the ugly, I don't know, the thing that gets me about this in the cartoon is like, why they had to do the Ewok variants? Like,
right.
The Ewoks that, like, are Ewok cousins, they aren't quite just little teddy bears like all the other ones.
You've got the speed monkey, I think is what he's referred to as.
Yeah, there's, like, gangly ones, there's, like, it's, I guess, you know, from a selling toys perspective is probably what they're looking at it from.
Good call.
It's... The movie, the Return of the Jedi, does it right. Like, there's enough variants. You can tell the different Ewok characters by how different they look. You don't need them.
Golden Bear one.
Yeah, there's the old, like, black and gray one who's, like, the leader, and it's kind of bigger than the other ones. That's more than enough.
As long as we're commenting on the Ewoks, I'll go to Shane D's review. "The second of the two Ewoks films, and by far the weakest. However, it does have some notable things. For better or worse, Wilford Brimley's presence makes this a hell of a lot more heartwarming than the first. Wicket now speaks fluent English, which is just odd."
No, even... that's weird, dude. Just give him subtitles.
I'll just stop reading there. Two stars.
Oh, that makes me so sad. They made Wicket talk?
Yeah, I don't remember that aspect of it.
They gave him a last name, too, dude. Wicket W. Warwick.
Is that just the actor's name? It's because it's Warwick?
Wicket Wistry Warwick is a fictional character from the Star Wars franchise. I mean, I guess it's cool that it's Warwick attributed Davis. Warwick Davis, the wonderful actor who's betrayed him forever. And actually, I just watched Solo last night, proving that I'm a big Star Wars nerd. Mm-hmm. And he has a cool cameo in that as one of the Freedom Fighters.
It's been a while since I've seen it. Anyway, I'm going to end with this one review that really brings the cat out of the bag on this movie. Ken S. writes, "Personally, I found this made-for-TV Ewok movie to be actually better than the first. I mean, neither is particularly good, but this one at least had more fun, a little bit more action, and some fun new characters and villains, which the first one severely lacked. The first was dull throughout. This one was a tad more fun. They kill off most of the family from the first movie early on.
Yeah!
And leave only the little girl alive, which is always good for a family TV special. It's truly hilarious to start off a movie aimed at little children with the death of an entire family. Sleep tight, kids. The best part, though, is this movie stars Wilford Brimley, which is totally awesome. Again, I wouldn't recommend either of these Ewok movies unless you're a diehard Star Wars fan or like weird, strange things. I found them interesting, but nothing too special. 2.5 stars. And it's like Wilford Brimley just lives in the woods with a speed monkey Ewok thing.
He's just doing coke with this weird gangly Ewok out in the woods.
Doing his Wilford Brimley. I'm Wilford Brimley.
Oh, man. I want to live out in the woods with Wilford Brimley. Just having mustaches together, doing coke, you know? Sounds like a good existence, but while you were reading those reviews, I thought of a good bit. So what if for the third movie, they're like, how do we, you know, no one's going to watch this garbage. We've already revealed that this is sort of a embarrassment to the Star Wars franchise and obviously just a money raker. But we got to put them in the seats. You know, we got to put people in front of that silver screen. And so they're going to do a collab with Mr. Miyagi himself.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be Karate Kid X.
XI?
No, Karate Kid X.
Oh.
Ewoks.
I see.
I'm not sure what they'd call it. Return of Cobra Kai.
I like that.
You know, if they got Wilford Brimley money, I think they definitely got Pat Morita money. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Even if both of them are dead.
Yeah. Well, this is still in the late 80s in this sort of alternate third Ewok universe I'm creating.
Yeah, Pat's going to do anything. He was on Happy Days. He'll do anything.
Right. Pat's looking for a paycheck. Nothing but respect for Pat Morita, but the dude is got green on the mind, if you know what I'm saying. So in the climactic scene of the movie, one of the climactic scenes, he's teaching the young hero how to how to do Ewok Kung Fu. Okay. And he's like, I don't get it. This doesn't make any sense. This isn't helping me at all. And he says, shh, listen, shh. Ewok on, Ewok off. You know, it's like a wax on, wax off.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah. There's a little Yoda vibe in there, a little master training.
Yeah. That was the big punchline I was building to. So you not laughing in that moment was horrible for me.
I was just thinking that as long as we're combining universes, Wilford Brimley could be the Wilford Brimley from The Thing. And it turns out he's The Thing and not Wilford Brimley.
And then we get a late...
Kurt Russell has to show up.
Yep, a late game Harrison Ford cameo. He's very obvious from his performance. He doesn't want to be there. He just walks in, like, nonchalantly shoots Wilford Brimley Thing with a laser gun and walks away. That's all they could get him to do.
It's almost like they took the same stock footage from Indiana Jones. they just, you know.
No, I picture him. He didn't even get full costume. He's got jeans and a t-shirt on, and he just threw the vest over it, the Solo vest.
I'd still watch.
Of course. It sounds, I'm sure the reviews would be wonderful for that piece of hot trash. Speaking of hot trash, I got an Amazon review.
All right.
Let's get us out of this Star Wars world for a minute. I'm sure we'll find our way back by the end of the episode. This is a review from Amazon India.
Oh,
if you believe it.
I'm trying.
We're going international here. This is a review for Nescafe Classic Coffee, 100-gram jar. John Appleseed titles it, If You Like Your Coffee to Be As Awful as Your Spouse. He writes, here's a PSA. This is not coffee. This is undoubtedly prison. Nescafe does a terrific job in selling solidified stool water and passing it off as coffee. Disgusting, foul, and appalling. Just like my wife. 1 star.
But which one costs more? Am I right? Boy, I can't wait to get to the age where I just start disrespecting women, especially my wife, frequently.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you wake up one, it's like puberty. You wake up one day and you got ball hair, you know? You wake up one day and you're a misogynist. What really gets me is the casual misogyny. It's like in their casual joking misogyny. It's like the assumption that you will be, you know, you'll also be like, yeah, misogyny, that rules. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you'll be complicit in the misogyny, or that you already are. That's really the offensive part to me. Just the strong assumption that I'm also a terrible misogynist who loves dumb wife jokes.
I mean, come on. Like, what are you doing? If you hate your wife that much, coffee is the least of your problems.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the difference between a millennial mentality and a boomer mentality. Boomers just got to roll with it. They don't have a choice. They didn't have Tinder. They didn't have OkCupid. They couldn't. It was harder to hit the things. You got to pick somebody and go with it. You don't even leave your hometown.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that didn't leave my hometown, but that's a different story. That's just sadness. I don't think a few generations ago, they just didn't really have a choice. Yeah, I forgot where I'm going with this, but hey, we're dropping all the review party hits this episode. Hating boomers, loving Star Wars, loving Ewoks, tomatoes.
Gonna have to find some racism to call out.
I bet in your little vault of reviews, there's got to be some racism in there.
There might be. Are we?
I'm not too worried about it.
Right in front of me, I was planning on using this review anyway, and a word in the review caught my eye, so it'll give us some place. It'll give us some place to go. We were in a galaxy far, far away. Now we're in a galaxy near and dear to our hearts because I have a Google Maps review for the Mars Cheese Castle.
Hey, welcome home.
Welcome home. It's right in our own solar system, and you know, two-state area.
Yeah, I always liked that. So what we're speaking on is Mars Cheese Castle is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I believe it's on the south side. So, and half the people that go to school at Carthage College, woo, our alma mater, are from Illinois. And I always thought it was super funny that all these poor Illinois kids who don't know what they're getting into, they think, oh, Kenosha, that's hardly even Wisconsin. And before they get to school, they got to drive past the fucking Mars Cheese Castle, dude. A monument to cheese. And they also got to drive past about 100 firework shops.
Yes.
Well, that's just any Wisconsin highway.
Yeah. So it's been a while since I've been there. But this will take both of us right there.
Oh, I can just hear the Illinois dad. Hey, Mars Cheese Castle. We got to check that out sometime when we come up here.
Yeah, not this time, next time.
But you do be going. And you also go to the Jelly Belly Factory and have the worst tour ever put on.
Otto Rascone writes, visiting the Mars Cheese Castle is a unique experience. There isn't another place I've ever been to like this. It's a mix of a liquor store that carries an amazing variety of beer and wine, an insane snack shop, a bread shop, a clothing store, and of course, a cheese shop. It's fun and well done overall, and a must stop if you're anywhere near. The only gripe I have with this is the hot sauce section. Seeing that this is a family store, I would never expect such products. The design of a handful of hot sauces are borderline pornographic and misogynistic. Yeah, for sure. That was the word that caught my eye. The misogynistic, for sure. My kids were able to read these labels.
Congratulations, your children are literate.
This section of the store felt way out of place. So managers, please do something about this. I almost gave a 3-star review based solely on this snafu. Otherwise, wow, a very unique experience and I'd come back for sure. 4 stars.
Oh, he doesn't give examples?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sure it was just like butt-fucking hot sauce.
Yeah, that being a hot sauce fan, and especially one who likes to go to, I don't know, hot sauce stores. I've been to Galena more times than I can count in the hot sauce store there. Yeah.
If I'm at a new grocery store, the number one on the list of what I want to check out is the hot sauce aisle.
But yeah, those labels are perverse a lot of the time.
It's like, yeah, they really look like an old Snoop Dogg album cover.
It's hot dick fire water or Clinton's coochie or something like that.
Clinton's coochie, that's a good one.
They get strangely political.
I don't like that.
I don't know. It's something about freedom of expression that they're either going to be very, like you said, pornographic or political or racist. Like, they'll have caricatures of who knows what. This is,
yeah, some
this
little habaneros with a sombrero on it and a big mustache.
Or A-bomb sauce, and you've got some person of some brown-colored skin with a bomb dropping on them. And, like, that definitely looks like something I want to buy and people to see me pay money for. I want that on my shelf.
Yeah, I kind of, even that, I kind of, you know, I do not like racism. I do not like just being explicit and extreme just for marketing reasons. I think that's disingenuous to the product. But I do sort of enjoy those crappy labels in a B-movie sort of way. You know, yeah. Like, this is so bad, it's good, it's funny.
People must buy them.
Right, there's they're on reason. The shelves.
But I don't know what Otto, what solution, what is he looking for? Is he looking for sort of a classic video store curtain that you have to go through to get to the dirty hot sauce section?
Yeah, hot sauce, XXX, adults only. Oh, man. Have you been to the hot sauce section of the Mars Cheese Castle? I do not recall.
Yeah, last time I was there, I think we were still in school, so I don't remember that.
I don't remember. Mars Cheese Castle seems like such a family environment. I don't think they'd carry Larry's dick-sucking explosion hot sauce. But hey, maybe they're hipper than I thought. Mars Cheese Castle, cutting edge of culture in Kenosha, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't agree?
I had some good stuff there.
With that, you know where I've had some good stuff.
Where's that?
This is Drew from Amazon for the Blackhawk Fury Prime Glove Black Medium. These are just some, I don't know, just some gloves with some weird rubber on top. I get versatile touchscreen compatible cell phone gloves and tad. Silicone print delivers superior grip. Just like work gloves, I guess you'd call them. Fancy looking work gloves. So
they're not like tactical.
They kind of...
They look like they want to be.
Right. They look like they a guy who wants to have tactical gloves but just works in a warehouse.
Okay.
Which brings me to Michael... La Martina. Titles it Great Glove. I just purchased my second pair of gloves. They are great if you need a pair of gloves that you can grab things, but also have your hands protected if getting caught between or under boxes. That being said, the first pair, the only issue I had was the pinky was way too long. Every other finger fit perfectly. When I got the second pair, I noticed that the glove was a lot tighter. Both pairs were size medium, so I'm surprised how tight the second pair was. The pinky was still too long as well. Other than that, I really like these gloves. 4 stars.
He's got some pinky problems.
Someone, whoever modeled these gloves is some sort of long pinky freak.
Yeah, they're a giant web-fingered person.
Their pinky is perfect for stirring drinks.
I have had that happen though, where you buy 2 pairs of gloves and
they fit different.
Like, yeah, like what the heck? It's the same size from the same company, purchased at the same time.
The expression was it fit like a glove. You know what I mean? Then you mix and match, and that just messes it up even more.
Yeah.
Now, tactile grip aids in manipulating firearms. That's another bullet point of this. Yeah, very cool.
Okay. If there's things that you want to manipulate in life, I don't know that firearms should be one of them. They've had a rough go of it. They kill people already. Don't manipulate firearms. They're sensitive.
And you can be manipulating firearms if
manipulate
you're...
Manipulate your wife instead.
Hey, that does sound way cooler.
I don't mean with the gloves. I mean emotionally.
Yeah, not like, I was thinking like manipulating her pleasure points, you know, for mutual enjoyment, with permission, of course.
Of course.
You were thinking more of a Beauty and the Beast gaslighting situation. Yeah.
Thinking this person is awful, keep them away from firearms.
What if, in Beauty and the Beast, except it's just a guy with long pinkies.
What a curse.
Yeah, they incite an entire mob to storm his castle and kill his long pinkied pinky. Hey, if you had a long pinky, you'd be a great swordsman.
Be a great pinky promiser. That's what he has to do before the final rose petal falls off. You must pinky promise.
He can pinky promise her whole hand. Just wraps around.
Ugh.
Man, long pinkies, how'd you wipe your butt? That's the sad reality that I think this person has to face.
Tuck that pinky.
Pinky Duck. Oh, man, you know how fancy you'd be at tea parties?
Everybody would know.
Everyone would know. You'd be poking Loretta at the next table with your pinky just because you're trying to drink your tea fancy. These teas were just, these gloves were just designed by someone who wanted to be fancy at a tea party.
They wanted everybody to know how big their pinky was.
They're these fancy hoity-toity. They wanted to work for Gucci, you know, something even Louis Vuitton. Designers above and beyond that make the fanciest gloves for royalty, for their royal tea parties. And they got caught working at Blackhawk, making, like, incel neckbeard, edgy edgelord tactile grip clubs. And they're like, well, you know what? I'm at least making the pinky long.
I'm putting myself into this work.
Right. They cannot help but elongate said pinky.
Trying to class the place up. Yeah. Yeah.
You can sort of point with your pinky finger. It's like a second crosshair when you're shooting your sweet gun.
Yeah.
But here's a better joke. If you want to be fancy, you got to shoot your AA-12 with your pinky out. If you want to rip up a target to shreds and be fancy about it.
Pop those pinkies.
Pop the pinkies.
You got your eyes, you got your ears, you got your pinkies out.
I don't want my eyes out. Those got to stay in.
No, those just your eye protection, your ear protection, your pinky accentuator.
Pinky accentuator. That's a great job title. Oh, yeah, I was a pinky accentuator for about 5 years for Universal.
Those cuticles, you know.
All right, before we get into more cuticle jokes, I think we should take a break.
Okay.
I'm holding my breath.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Friends and neighbors, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to Upon Further Meme Reviews? What?
What?
It's a collaboration between Mr. Miyagi and Meme Upon Further Review and Me, You, and Meme Reviews, kinda, because you know what? Maybe this is a greatest meme review in history.
Wow.
Because I don't know who watches the internet these days. Anybody out there watching the internet, you turn that on and watch it?
Yeah, you just hit the old power button. See what's it just unfolds before you.
See what comes up on your MSN page?
I just go on my computer. There's a big button that says internet. I click on it. I see what happens.
Well, if anybody's been watching the internet, you may have seen/heard that the movie, the classic heralded movie, Citizen Kane, lost its perfect score on what? On Rotten Tomatoes, because somebody working at Rotten Tomatoes dug up a whole bunch of old reviews, and they found a negative review for Rotten Tomatoes from the Chicago Tribune, published, you know, when the movie came out. And I read this review because it was making the rounds, this story. Oh, Citizen Kane. Wow, we found a critical review. It's one of the greatest films ever made. So let me
debatable.
Let me just read the review here. This is the meme. I don't know. We've got so many different segments all combined in this thing.
This is a review.
This is the review. Citizen Kane fails to impress critic as greatest ever filmed. By May Tanay. Good morning. Last night, two theaters brought to their screens a study of magnificent futility. The life story of Citizen Kane. You've heard a lot about this picture, and I see by the ads that some experts think it the greatest movie ever made. I don't. It's interesting. It's different. In fact, it's bizarre enough to become a museum piece. But its sacrifice of simplicity to eccentricity robs it of distinction and general entertainment value. Citizen Kane presents an almost clinical dissection of a complete egotist. It runs to gargantuan sets and artsy photography, shadowy and spooky, which, however, according to our Eddie Johnson, is something for the books. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know about that. I only know it gives one the creeps, and that I kept wishing they'd let a little sunshine in. The film has considerable suspense of a whodunit nature tied up with a certain rosebud. Citizen Kane inherited houses and lands and mines and what have you, but the only item which arrested his interest was a one-horse newspaper taken in on a bad debt. Citizen Kane wants to be a publisher, to put out a sheet that will shame the devil, shock the saints, benefit the masses, and, incidentally, of course, be widely bought. He becomes the widely known editor of a sensational fleet of newspapers. In a way, he has ideals when he starts out, but because he hasn't the underlying character for the carrying out of ideals, because all Kane really cares about is Kane, all of his projects topple and the man is finally obliterated under the ruins of the enterprises he has built on shifting sand. There you have the case of Citizen Kane, a soldier usually enlisted in a bad case. Head in the clouds, feet in the mire. The picture will go into such details for you as his unsuccessful campaign for governor, his connection with the Spanish-American War, his storehouses bulging with a motley from all over the world, his domestic life, his amor, and his death. Director Wells, who also authored Citizen Kane with the help of Herman J. Mankiewicz, provides a zealous and effective performer in the title role. He has excellent support from the Mercury Players, Ruth Warwick as his first wife, and Everett Sloan as his manager. I like the best. Joseph Cotten as Jedediah Leland, who is known as, for years, playing Damon to Kane's Pythias, I cared for the least. The usual foreword, disclaiming intentional identification of the picture characters with persons living or dead, is conspicuous by its absence. See you tomorrow. And then there are two little asterisks, what I'm taking to indicate two stars. So you laughed for a moment there. Like,
sometimes I laugh.
It sounds like this is just some old biddy, some church marm. It was different. I wish they'd let a little sunshine in.
Yeah, I think Citizen Kane is so impressive because it, and I'm probably very wrong. You know, I'm no classic cinema historian. Mm-hmm. I'm just an amateur, a hobbyist of the film kind. But it's the first movie that really was dripping in atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It really had a lot. It was just like the atmosphere, the dread that was sort of over this whole thing was just it elevated cinema to a new place in art, and they just know Likey. They just know Likey the sad he feels.
And when I was reading that, I'm like, this sounds so funny. And you know what? There's a good reason it sounds funny, because thanks to current reviewer at the Chicago Tribune, Michael Phillips, who put out an article titled "Fake Chicago Tribune Critic Takes Citizen Kane Down a Peg." It was revealed that, hey, remember the name of that edit of that reviewer, May Tanay, which kind of sounds like matinee.
Matinee.
Apparently, multiple people from 1915 to 1966 wrote fake reviews under that name for the Chicago Tribune. And some bozo from Rotten Tomatoes is like, oh, this looks good. Matinee. Let me.
Oh, so this was sort of, this is an early Onion style.
Yeah. That's why I said meme review. This was a fake review.
Wow. One of the first meme reviews.
They're just bombing on it for fun.
Right. They're just like, okay, I'm going to pretend to be an idiot who doesn't understand this movie at all.
Too dark.
They got me. Hey, they got me. That's the best when an Onion article gets someone. They think it's real. They got me. They hook, line, sinker.
I mean, they got a lot of people. It just happened that, obviously, it makes sense to people. If you're working at the Chicago Tribune and you see all over the internet that, old Chicago Tribune review brings Citizen Kane down from its 100, you're like, hang on. We better look into this.
I've heard this one before.
Hang on, some of our idiots from the past century wrote a whole bunch of bogus reviews.
Heroes, I would call them.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to find more things written by Mae Tenay to find out just what else.
Ooh. Yeah, she one that really apart. Hits. One that's really goofy, I would love.
I mean, they try and say that Mae Tenay is a good try pun. That's what Mr. Phillips calls it, a good try pun on Matinee. I would say it's an okay try.
I don't think it's... I think the thing is, this is not trying too hard. They're just like, Mae Tenay, huh? All right. Let me write this.
I would have gone with Matt Inez.
Matt.
Maybe that would... That's too foreign sounding for the for that
I
time.
I would have gone with Funny Review Guy 69. But right. That's just me.
Anyway, it wouldn't be at least a partial great reviews in history / great meme reviews in history / upon further meme reviews without taking a quick look at what newspapers also printed back then. So on the same page as that bogus review from May was an ad for Marshall Field's Classic Chicago Company. And here's how the ad reads. You're only as young as your hat. Match your young in heart mood with a gracious hat from Marshall Fields. Take an eyeshadow brim for its face value. Trust soft blooming flowers to make your eyes and skin glow. Consider the flattery of snowy white feathers. Climax every new costume with a hat that makes the most of your looks.
Wow.
At Marshall Fields, you'll find a charming collection of age-defining millinery. Hats you'll wear with elation, knowing they make you pretty.
Elation?
They're your privilege. Remember to look as young as you feel. Yeah, like, what
these
were
these hats are going to make? See, I had a great pun lined up to bow tie this review, but... And then they started talking about how the hats make you come.
Just be an ad man off. Back then. Wow.
Man, we would get away with murder in 1941.
Say anything.
He's like, how many ways? How can I? How close can I say? How close can I get to saying that these hats will make you come without actually saying it? And get away with it.
This hat will accentuate your head, young man.
This hat will make you explode with pleasure. Moan beside yourself. Have an out-of-body experience with this hat on your head.
Yeah. I love me some old stuff.
Some old farts. You're gonna love this review, because you know where it's from.
Ooh.
Yelp. And hey.
Yelp!
These Yelps, I hear you. I hear you out there, little people. Folks listening to this show, I know what you need. And it's a Yelp, Japan review. Do you friggin' know it? This review is for the New York Bar. Which is significant because it's the Lost in Translation Bar. I have not been to it. I have been around it and thought, that is too expensive for me. And went to some dive bar instead.
Yeah.
But Anthony A. decided to indulge here. They write, so you're in Tokyo and you saw Lost in Translation, and you just have to stop into the bar for a drink, right? Just keep those expectations in check. The hotel occupies the upper floors of a very tall office building. There are plenty of people down below who can direct you to the elevator to access it. Take your time walking through the hotel, because it is really spectacular. Lots of gorgeous woodwork and Japanese design. You quickly realize why a single night here is so expensive. The bar really isn't much of a bar at all. There is no bar where you can sit and have a drink. That's what they call movie magic. Instead, you can grab a table and enjoy an unencumbered view of the Tokyo skyline, which is vast and seemingly infinite. My dad ordered a Jameson on the rocks. I had an old fashioned. His complaint was they pour too modestly, and the Jameson didn't even cover the rocks. My complaint was minor, but they used a lemon in my old fashioned in place of an orange. Odd. They provided some tasty wasabi snacks to munch on, but there's also a bar menu if you want a little something more. Oh, and don't think there's much of a dress code here. The table next to us consisted of a few typical American types, whom my dad referred to as Duck Dynasty, since they were all wearing caps and looking ultra cash. This is definitely a tourist trap spot, but the killer view makes it worthwhile. Maybe next time I'll have dinner so I can give it a proper full review. But as a spot to grab a nightcap, it worked out perfectly. 3 stars.
What? Dude. That's not at least 4 stars. It's 3.5 round of 4. Man.
Unless your brain can't
even, like, comprehend that level of math, because it sounds like his brain can't comprehend, like, the infinite Tokyo skyline. How tall is this building? Is it like you're on the 15th floor? Maybe that's why the skyline looks infinite.
Bro, can you imagine going to Japan and ordering a hyper regional American drink and getting mad because they'd be using a different type of citrus?
Yeah.
Like, that's... sheesh.
I'm trying to think of what that's like. But,
and, well, God forbid some Duck Dynasties sit next to you. They got hats and t-shirts on. Bunch of Duck Dynasties over there.
Who are these guys? Tourists? Ugh. Not like me. I'm not a subtle tourist from
Rancho Santa Margarita, California. I'm no Duck Dynasty. I was wearing a collared shirt and flip-flops.
I just have to say, like, assuming this is in a tall building.
Very tall.
How is the skyline of Tokyo infinite? You're going to be seeing water.
Infinite. Infinite. The windows they put in there are they're like special magnifying windows that make you see for infinity. You see so far, it loops all the way around and you're looking at your own ass.
Whoa. That would, I mean, I'm not ordering food if that's the case.
you look all the way around. You're, what's that? Is that the bar I'm in? Oh no, Duck Dynasties. and then you take another star off.
Yeah, that maybe. Yeah, full star for the Duck Dynasty squad. Okay.
Full star for the lemon instead of orange because it was so, quote, odd.
That's odd.
That's the most passive aggressive odd I've ever seen. And then another star for the ultra cash cap wearing Duck Dynasties. You know, those Duck Dynasty dudes are probably loaded, Anthony.
Yeah.
Your dad was probably just jealous because they can get away with being ultra cash because they got ultra money.
They got that much cheddar lying around.
Absolutely. Some big game hunters heading to Japan for a little silliness, a little shenanigans. They're probably, if they were hunter types and not just dudes wearing baseball hats. Inciting criticism from this guy's dorky dad. Big game hunters and, like, dudes who take Japanese businessmen on hunting trips make buku bucks, dude.
Yeah, they gotta be loaded.
Yeah, because, like, in Japan, there's just no real hunting. There's just not the space. There's just mountains.
Right.
And hogs. If you want to do some big game hunting, you're paying a lot of money. So if you want to be a guy who takes those guys on tour, you're making a lot of money. So, I don't know, man. People be wearing Duck Dynasties and it's alright.
It's odd.
Cover
the rocks.
Oof, you got a quickie?
I got one that'll just make us feel good, I guess.
Yeah, a little palate cleanser.
Take us back from Tokyo, back home again, because this is a review for the Wisconsin State Fair Park. And
this
Brian
is
Bizdauka writes, "Do you love sticks as much as I do? Yeah, I don't blame you. Sticks are amazing. Well, this place has tons of sticks. Best thing about their sticks, they put food on them. Normally fried delicious food. And while you walk around with your new stick that has impaled a delicious fried treat, you can buy handmade jewelry and bed sheets. Jeez, I know what you're thinking. Too good to be true? It's not. It's true. 5 stars.
I mean, yeah, not much to say about that one. Encapsulates the experience perfectly.
Without mentioning cream puffs.
Oh, I'm not, you know, if I'm going to Wisconsin State Fair, I'm going to have a cream puff. But I'm not the biggest cream puff guy.
Yeah.
Give me a curd. If I want anything breaded, it's a cheese. Making some sort of curded material. You might call it a cheese curd.
Yeah.
White cheddar, yellow cheddar, I don't know.
Couldn't be better.
Oh, I saw this meme, and it was like, do you ever eat six string cheeses in a row? Oh, no, absolutely not. What about if we breaded them and deep fried them? Absolutely. Just call it an appetizer.
Yes.
But yes. With that, stealing comedy from the internet, as this entire show is, we got some plugs for you. Thanks for listening to ReviewParty.com on here, the 4th of May, or maybe shortly after, or maybe quite a while after. Whatever category you fall in, thank you. And thank you to, if you made it to the end of the episode, wow. We love you.
We love you.
We love you. We want to marry you. We're going to have one big polygamous review party marriage, and I'm sure it'll be great for our taxes.
Yeah.
And if you made it this far, you'd probably like to know new episodes every Tuesday morning. The hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day crew. And if you made it this far, maybe you're an entrepreneur, a connoisseur, some other word that rhymes with sir for wacky internet reviews. So if you find one, everything is funny, I demand you send it our way, because we found a lot of reviews and we know you're better. You know, we know you're even better than we are. We're slubs. Anyway, send any funny reviews to reviewparty.com@gmail.com and include your name so we can throw you some credit.
Hey, everybody. Do you like what you're listening to? Do you like our voices? Do you like our sense of humor? I'm guessing you do. I hope you do. And if you want more applications for our humor, get on the social medias, folks. Instagram @ReviewParty.com, Twitter @ReviewPartyPod, the website ReviewParty.com.com, where you can find all of the episodes, the blogs, so many cool things there. Ugh, the shop, and you can sign up for the After Party Review newsletter just to be in the know on when things happen and what's happening.
We know you people are working from home, looking for anything to quell the boredom. And hey, you could get a newsletter from us. That's like, there's got to be at least 3.5 minutes of time passing reading on those suckers. And yeah, way more if you include the blogs that are linked there.
Yeah.
So be lazy on us. You know, let us help with your laziness a little bit.
We got you.
We got your back. We're the biggest slackers, lazy goofballs on the planet. That's why we're working hard for you. We want to bring laziness to the masses. Speaking of masses, these guys are massively talented. Nosebleeds, they let us use their song, Bread for Breakfast. You've heard it throughout the episode. What a delightful jam. If you want some more jam for your massive peanut butter sandwich, you can find them on their Spotify. Just search Nosebleeds. That's Nosebleeds, one word, people.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Oh, something about asses?
No, for your massive pea nut butter. I was just, never mind. It was
never mind.
Going back to the ejaculatory hat.
No, we don't talk about that brain. Stuff. Okay. We don't talk about that stuff. I heard you got a review to take us out of here.
We don't talk about that stuff, but what we do talk about is man stuff, which is the company who brings us this Amazon product, Man Lotion, hand, face, and body lotion. Amazon user Amanda, with an H on the end, titles her review, "Loved it. My nephew loved it. He likes having man-scented lotion." But what he liked the most was the bottle, because it said man lotion, and it was very masculine. He loved it. 5 stars.
I hope when you squeeze that on your hand, they had to put some food coloring in there, please, at least. Do not make it soapy white.
Bye.
Goodbye.